Okay, guys, this morning I want to share something with you. This would be partly considered talking about the vision for our church in 2023. And before I just bring that up, I want to also mention, I don't know whether you've heard of the doomsday clock. How many of you have actually heard of the doomsday clock? My Lord, what do you people do? The doomsday clock began in 1947, so it's certainly older than probably all of you, most of you. And it came about because scientists were concerned that the world had gained nuclear weapons. Remember in 1945, there'd been in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, explosions of nuclear weapons, which brought an end to the war at that time. And then people betrayed the United States and passed on the secrets of nuclear weapons to Russia, who developed those as well. And of course, it was in the hand of a very dangerous man in Russia at the time. It was probably is today too, I guess. Hope you're listening, Mr. Putin. And we, from that time on, a group of scientists, as well as other very well-regarded people in the community, I mean, these are important people, have set a doomsday clock year by year. And so over the period of the year, they usually do it at the beginning of the year, and they would say that we are now facing an issue in our world, and usually related to nuclear weapons, of where we might be on the clock. And so the clock has varied from 11:45 to 11:55, even down to less than that. And this year, of the men who do this, there's 11 Nobel laureates. So these are not ignorant men. They are scientific men. They are men of understanding, not necessarily Christian. But they have said the doomsday clock is now 100 seconds from midnight. And a preacher whom I admire and respect said, he said, for the Christian, it's 10 seconds to midnight. I have spoken about the rapture starting a couple of years back, which I bring up and I will continue to bring up to you because the rapture is close. I can't put a time on it. I don't think it's tomorrow necessarily, but it could be because no man knows the day or the hour. It can come that quickly. There's no warning. There's no email the day before from heaven saying, hey, get ready tomorrow, there's the rapture, because then we can run around and tell everybody. It'll just be, we'll be gone. Whatever we're doing, whether it's sleeping, whether it's working, whether it's out in the garden, whether it's in the shower, whatever it might be, we'll just be gone. But in considering that, let me just bring to your thinking that the rapture is coming. But I have always been a revivalist. I have always believed that there would be a great revival in the world. There have been some remarkable revivals over the years, across the centuries, certainly the beginning 2,000 years ago. But nothing that I would regard as a world-shaking event. I believe it's coming. Before the revival, I'm praying, God, don't take us out yet. Let's see many souls won into the kingdom. The thing is, that can happen very, very quickly. And we need to realise as a church that we have a role in that as well. Revival, but also happening this year and beyond, is the battle for Christianity. I believe that Christians are going to face more opposition, more oppression than ever before. And we need to rise up in that. I was reading a good prophecy from a guy named Sean Boltz. Or was it Jeremiah Johnson? I can't remember. Sean Boltz, I think. And he was saying that there would be great conflict, that the dry bones churches will disappear. And they will be the ones that oppose the churches that are going on with God. My heart is always to see this church go on. I don't want just a comfortable church. We're not here to be comfortable. We're here to move on in God. We're here to establish the kingdom. We're here to make our lives available for Him so that He can make an influence in the world and the kingdom of God can go forward. So it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, count on me. I'm here. And that's the story I'm going to share this morning about the body of Christ. But let me say this. In Ezekiel 37, where it talks about the dry bones, and they took the prophet, put him into the valley of the dry bones, and God said, prophesy. Well, he said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, I don't know, you know. And he said, right, prophesy to these bones. And he began to prophesy to them. And the bones began to come together. They gained sinews and flesh, and they stood up on their feet, and they became a mighty army. Now, that was referring to the Israelites. But I want to say to you, I believe God is speaking into the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean just this group of people. I mean the church worldwide, that the dry bones that had come together, that where people have just sat in church for years, suddenly they'll fire up for God because God wants to move through his people. And we want to be a part of that. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be a church that's just filling in time, enjoying themselves, liking our tea and coffee, having good fellowship. All those things are good. But there's more. There's more. To be a part of what God wants to do in the last days is the most exciting thing a Christian can be involved in. And I'm calling you, God is speaking into churches, calling the dry bones to be a mighty army to rise up. Last year, I began to look to the Lord about 2023, and so through the end of last year, early this year, and God didn't give me a clear word, as God sometimes doesn't. God, the one thing I found about God, he varies his approach. I would sort of like it if he'd had email and he could send me an email. This is what I intend, 23, this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to do. He doesn't do that. And the ways that I've seen God move before or bring his word, he changes. I get confused sometimes, as probably you do too. Remember Jesus in healing people, he'd either say to the demon, come out, and the demon had come out, or he'd stop the hearse as it was passing by and call the body back to life. Or, can you believe it? He spat in the mud, made some clay and put it on a man's eyes. Can you imagine the workplace health and safety people getting onto that, saying, you cannot do this. Do not do this again. We will get sued. Jesus used variety. Why? Because if it follows the same procedure every time, we put God in a box. God can only work this way. This is the only way I can hear from God. I want to tell you that's not true. Do you know the greatest words I've heard from God was when I was not even praying. I was just sort of sitting there, dwindling in mind. And then God came through. But then he came through in other ways. Really what I'm trying to say is, instead of just giving me a word, I felt him draw me into the Word of God. And so I began an increased reading of the Word, study of the Word, and God began to open things out of that. And then I felt a tug in my heart towards the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking we need to see the gifts much more active than they are. And so I began to get onto some material relating to the gifts, and God began to open up my understanding to the gifts of the Spirit that I haven't had before, which I am going to share in coming months. Because everybody is a candidate for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you this morning, somebody is waiting for you to bring them a miracle through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I want your hearts to be open as I begin to share about that in future weeks. But this morning, I want to talk about the body of Christ. In 1778, the United States Constitution was drafted and then adopted in 1779. But it starts in the preamble, we the people, which I think is inspired. I think it was either inspired by the Holy Ghost or some man had certainly an inspiration. We, meaning this group, and that spoke of a unity, the people made up of many. And so when we say we the body, we can say we are joined together in a body of people which are manifest. And let me just say with Sam and Alicia from Germany, they're part of the body of Christ. A different expression of the body in a different place, but everybody who's born again is now part of the body of Christ. And that being the case, what are we going to do about it? When I got married many years ago, I'd been living on my own in an apartment and providing for myself. And I could do what I want, stay up as late as I want, get up as early or late as I want, do whatever you want. Turn up your music, turn it down, didn't matter. Do the washing any way I chose, everything's a colour, so put it all in together, it doesn't matter. I've since been taught otherwise. But once I got married, I came into a wonderful relationship, but in that relationship I had responsibilities. I was no longer a single man doing anything I pleased. I now was joined to somebody else. And really what I'm trying to say is, once you've named Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you come into the body, and if you need to recognise you have, not only is a great privilege, but you have a great responsibility to be a part of that body. And that's where we need to go as a church to become really the body of Christ. So for us, the statement, we the body, is important, that we see ourselves, we collectively, joined together, functioning in operation, become the body. So how do I be the body? How do I fulfill my part so as to honour Jesus Christ, my Saviour? Well, it's a blessing. It's a responsibility. And in the coming months, I intend to teach from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start there this morning in verse 1. I think it's on. It'll be on the board there for you. First verse says, "Now concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I just bring that to you because that's where I'm going in the future. And you can see we're going to learn more from 1 Corinthians 12. And then in verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Now, see how often the word one comes up there. Please note that. Verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So wherever you are in the body, that's God's intent for you. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having greater honour to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So we're collectively, we're unity, and yet we are individual people brought together. How important is the body? It's interesting that Paul uses that analogy of the body and how the body represents then the body of Christ when we are joined together. I wonder if Paul had access, he didn't then, but if he had had access to DNA and cells information about the body, how much more he would have said and explored on that. But he's saying we should be functioning in the body. We are many, but we are one. The first and foremost thing lost by the fall was the intimate fellowship man had with God. And the main purpose of redemption and restoration is to restore that relationship. You've heard me say on numerous occasions, Jesus did not come to die for your sin. He came to give you relationship with God the Father, and to do that, he had to die for your sin. The reason that's important is if you stop at the point where you say, Jesus died for my sin, full stop, you stop yourself from going forward in the things of God when you realise that Jesus had died for your sin to give you a relationship with God the Father. You say, okay, there's more. And that's what God wants you to see. The second thing is, he came to restore the fellowship that man had with man. Because when Adam and Eve sinned and were rebellious against God and disobeyed God, man was then no longer in the fellowship that he had. And Adam and Eve, I don't know the end story, but I think Adam and Eve, their marriage was then spoilt. Their relationship was then spoilt. We know that before the fall, the Bible says they were naked and not ashamed, and after the fall, they were sewing fig leaves together to cover themselves. I'm going to say, well, who's going to see them? They've been there forever like that. Why would you do that? It's the nakedness they felt spiritually. And I believe that that created conflict between Adam and Eve from that point on. Because Adam said to God, it's the woman you gave me who caused me to do this. And so he would have had an attitude to Eve from then on. And Eve would have had an attitude as well, because women never forget. And so it went on from there. It was a battle. Jesus came to restore what Adam lost and more, because we have a relationship with God and man, because we are linked by the Spirit of God. The DNA of God flows in us, and God intends unity, a oneness made up of many. Consider your own body. You may think, oh, I'm just a small part, or I'm a negligible part of a body. I broke my toe playing football one time. And if you think a toe is a little member of the body, an unimportant member of the body, break your toe. In fact, can I put you to the test? If you think the toe is not important, even the little toe, get a hammer this afternoon, put your foot on the ground and smack that little toe with the hammer nice and hard. I remember with that sore toe, do you know, I couldn't put a shoe on for weeks. I couldn't put my foot on the ground, you know. I had to be very gingerly in what I did with that. I think I had a walking stick at one stage. I couldn't drive a car, but fortunately it was my left foot that was injured and the right foot could drive an automatic. I had to borrow one. I didn't have an automatic. What I'm trying to say is it was just a small thing, but the rest of the body knew about it. And we think, oh, what's the toenail on the left toe, small toe, worth anyway? Well, I tell you what, you smack your toe and find out, and you will know that it's worth something. And therefore, we do not despise the little things on our body, because they affect us. And that happens in the body of Christ in general. We don't despise the lesser members. We welcome them. They're part of it. We need the body functioning. And that's, unfortunately, what is not happening, is the body is not functioning the way God designed it. Look, if I was God, I don't know why he entrusted man with carrying the gospel. These angels are about 9 feet tall. Send an angel. I mean, dress them up in whatever. Once people see an angel, they'll get saved. See, that's not based on love. That's based on fear. And God in his wisdom, and I can't challenge God's wisdom, has decided you and I will carry the gospel forward and display his love in this earth and to touch the lives of people. How miraculous is that? But here's the thing. He has given us the equipment to do that. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. And I pray as we study the gifts, you're going to get a grip on those and say, I can move in that. I can do that. Because I said to you before, there's somebody who needs a miracle that you can bring them. And any revelation of the gifts of the Spirit is a miracle. Divine intervention of God in man's needs. How exciting. We can be a part of what God is doing. That there'll be people in heaven because you've been obedient to the Lord and you've seen them come into the kingdom of God. What a great thing that will be for us to look to. Okay, so what if every Christian functioned in the body the way God had joined them together? It'd be amazing. This world would be so impacted. Kingdom of darkness would be so impacted. Kingdom of light would be so impacted. Our world would be so impacted. In fact, if the body of Christ across the world functioned properly as the body, maybe this whole world would have got saved. Just the power that had been released through the body, but it doesn't. And I want to talk to you about what stops the body functioning. There's four things: division, discord, disconnection, and distraction. I haven't put them up that way there, but I'll take you through it. Okay. The first one, division, cancer within the body. I'm sorry for my appearance this morning. I grew up in a time when getting out in the sun wasn't noted as being cancerous. And so at school, we would just sit in the sun, play sport all day in the sun on Saturday, go to the beach Sunday, run around, no covering, no creams, nothing like that. And I paid the price. I've had a lot of skin cut out over the years, but fortunately they've only been BCCs, basal cell carcinomas, no melanomas, and this is part of it. And so I'm using a chemotherapy cream that burns it out, and then it'll recover, which is great. So you see the things that you do. I always tell kids, if you want to hear horror stories about being in the sun, I'll talk to you and show you my scars so that you'll take care. Cancer, a thing that begins in our body and begins to destroy our body. And we need to recognise what comes against the body of Christ. Discord, for instance. The scripture says God hates people who sow discord amongst the brethren. That is in the body. He hates it because he sees it as a cancer. And attacks will come against Christians by non-Christians. But I want to say this morning, the greatest attacks against Christians will come from Christians. Because there'll be those who are going on with Christ who want to live that godly way in a righteous sense. And there'll be those who are just lukewarm Christians. And I don't know whether out of guilt or whether out of their misunderstanding. I remember when we had a move of the Holy Ghost happening back in the 1990s. And people, Christians from another fellowship, went around putting on the windscreens of cars, what's happening is of the devil. Criticism. Well, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to proclaim the truth of the word. And we're going to stand up for righteousness. But I want to say to you, we are going to face opposition. People will oppose that. They won't have that. They won't like that. They'll come against us. Recognize it. I guess if you're doing the right thing, you get opposition. If you're not getting any opposition, you need to ask, am I doing the right thing? So be aware of that. Cancer attacks within the body will come mainly from other Christians. And that's the cancer that occurs. Happened 2,000 years ago when the apostles were spreading the gospel there. A lot of Paul's writings are to deal with issues within the church brought by supposed other Christians. The second thing is disconnection. When people withdraw from relationship with God and fellow Christians, they begin to die spiritually. We can't separate from the body of Christ. And I have no sense of embarrassment saying to you, we need the body. That's what we meet together for. This is the body coming together. We fellowship, we relate, we build together. I've had the chance to go to South Africa and visit wildlife parks, and that's exciting. But, you know, when you're there, you never see lions killing something. Well, maybe you have, but I haven't. So I have to rely on the wildlife programs to see these things. I like David Attenborough. I think he's great at what he shares, or any program that's covering wildlife. You notice something about, and I'll use lions, but it's probably true for cheetahs, hyenas, the wild dogs and so on. Lions, I think, are basically lazy. I don't think they're energetic beasts. They take the easiest line. But hey, that's like a lot of people, isn't it? Take the easiest line, comfortable line. So lions don't go and kill the toughest member of the herd, whether it's wildebeest or whatever else they're chasing. They go for the weakest. They go for the sick. They go for the old and infirm. And they seek to separate it from the herd so they can bring it down, kill it and eat it. In 1 Peter 5:8, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'd suggest that when that was written by Paul, those people knew that about lions so that they understood what he was saying. And I want you to understand, when you separate from the herd, the body of Christ, you make yourself a target for the enemy. And he will come at you. He'll try to separate you out, try to take you off, try to devour you. You need to stick with the body and stick with the herd. Even when sometimes it's a challenge, even when sometimes we feel it's difficult to do that, do not be disconnected. That's how the body stops failing. Look, we talk about the members of the body, but I'm thankful for my body. It mightn't be the greatest body in the world. I'd like to make some changes, you know, if God would allow me to do some improvements, so I'd certainly take that on. But I got two legs to walk on. You know, when I look at those handicapped parking spaces that are right next to the door of where you want to go, and I park 2 miles down the road, I look at that and I think, no, I'd rather walk 2 miles than be able to park there. But what if my legs were arms? That'd be ridiculous. I'd go around like an ape on four limbs. You've got to have separate limbs. The limbs have to function. You can't say, let this be this or let this be that. I want to be this. No, you've got to function where God places you because He knows best. Third thing is distractions. We're busy. People are busy. This is a busy world. Perhaps because of lifestyle or possessions or consumables, people want to work hard, make lots of money, achieve things. But I challenge you to look at the important over things that we are thinking that we need. A lot of stuff we need. My wife and I just moved last year. We lived in the one house 36 years, and it was a big house. And in that time, both our parents had died, so, you know, we bring a lot of stuff into the house from there, you know, memories, silver. Who uses silver today? Dinner sets, glasses, tablecloth, you can name it. And we came to move. What a shock. And we got rid of a lot of stuff, but we still took a lot of stuff with us. See, those are distractions. They can be distractions. You can get caught up in the stuff of the world. Don't go there. Look at what's important. TV can be a great time consumer. I like TV. I'm not saying it's wrong. You just got to say, I'm not going to be a TV addict 24 hours a day. Don't put a TV in the bedroom. I think that's bad, not a good idea. Social media. I'll just check my Facebook account to see what Claire's doing again, you know, or people are always on it, or the Instagram, and I could name people are always on that too. I'm not saying it's wrong, but if it's distracting you from the things of God, you're missing the best. We need to be connected with the Lord and what He wants to do. Don't be drawn away from that sort of stuff. Satan is the master at creating all of these things, division, disconnection, distraction, diversion, whatever it might be. Don't let him. Hold fast to God in the things you need to do. So God's joined us together in the church as a part of His greater body so we can function together. Christ is the head, we're to be obedient to Him. How does He feel about the dysfunction of the body? He feels grief at that. He has plans. Can you see yourself becoming part of those plans? Ben mentioned vision this morning. Well, what's your vision? Well, my vision is to buy a bigger boat so I can fish further out at sea, or to buy a new four-wheel drive so I can get out in the wilds and enjoy God's great creation. Nothing wrong with those things, but don't take the boat out Sunday morning. Take it out the rest of the week, but don't take it out Sunday morning. Be in church. I've always said to the fishermen, you go out Sunday morning, I'm going to pray you don't catch anything. Except a cold from being out there. And may it rain, so you're wet as well. You can see I'm a loving pastor. I'm just looking after the best interests of people here, folks. You need to know that. What do we do? Well, I think we've got to consider, it's not about our accomplishments, but faithfulness and obedient to what God has given us to do, that we are faithful there. We need to repent of independent attitudes and say, God, whatever you want, not what I want. Then I think we need to consider hell. Hey, do you ever sit down and ponder what hell's like? There is description in the scripture about hell. Would you really want somebody to go there and suffer for eternity? Now, eternity means time stops. It never changes. They never get out. There's no purgatory. You don't do a stint of suffering and then get to heaven. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And I don't want anybody in hell. The worst thing you can say to somebody is, go to hell. The worst thing you could wish upon somebody, and you might say, that's an evil person, I really want them to end up in hell. No, never want that for anybody. We want to pray the best for people. So I'm saying be determined to be a functioning member of the body of Christ because it's a great privilege. And it's not really about what we think we are in the body, big or small. It's about our connection and our obedience. And this church can only go forward in the kingdom of God if the body functions and we're led by Jesus Christ, the head. So my question to you is, will you? Will you acknowledge your place in the body? And will you determine to be active in the body of Christ? I pray you will, because it's God's desire for you and it's where we need to go as a church this year. So I'm going to ask you to stand because I want to pray for you this morning. In fact, let me push the boundaries. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And in this prayer, I'm going to take you in a commitment to the body. And if you feel, hey, no, that's not for me. I want to be Mr. Independent or Mrs. Independent, which I pray you won't. I want you to pray with me. And let's do something more this morning. We are part of the body. What about identifying with the person next to you? You can put your hand on their shoulder. If you're husband and wife, put your arms around each other, whatever. Take somebody's hand. It doesn't matter. It's identification that I am part of the body of Christ. Will you pray with me? Will you let me lead you in a prayer? I'm going to challenge you in this prayer because it's important and where God wants to go with you in 2023. So let's say this together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of where I have not been an effective member of the body. But I make this commitment this morning that I will become a functioning member of the body of Christ. I will let you guide me and lead me. I will be obedient to your will. It does not matter what I am in the body. It only matters that I function as a member of the body. And so I give myself to you this morning, Lord, and pray your will be done in regard to my life, in the involvement in the body of Christ, that the kingdom of God might go forward and that people will receive a miracle of salvation because the body is effective. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Now give that person a squeeze and say, it's great to be in the body with you. Okay. That's wonderful. All right, look, why don't you sit down again for a moment? There's one thing more I want to do this morning. Because tomorrow is the start of school, and we have a school associated with our church, but we also have people who are in other schools. I want to pray with teachers this morning, and I'm going to ask teachers to come and join me at the front. Come on down, teachers, right now. And then I'm going to ask other people who are associated, you know, maybe in administration in the school, maybe teachers' aides, whatever your role, I want you to come. Oh, turn around and face me because I've got to talk to you for a minute. Wow. Isn't this great? Would you just look at me for a moment? Teachers and aides and others, you have a fantastic position to relate to young people in a world going mad. This world is creating such an anxiety for students, but you have a voice of love and reason and hope and encouragement that you can impart into those lives. What a great thing. What a responsibility. And what a hope. And I want to pray for you this morning the hand of God will be upon you, that you might go forth in this year. Remember, I'm talking about being part of the body and operating in the gifts. You can do that right where you are. God can give you a download on a child that you can share with them. Please hear God. Listen to God. I know in non-Christian schools there are some limitations on what you can do. But ask God for creative ways that you can operate in those particular schools and with those students. You never know how many doors God can open so that you can be effective. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I stand with these people who have committed their lives to be involved with education in whatever capacity that is. And I pray that your hand will be upon them. May there be a grace flowing through their lives. May there be abilities beyond what they think they have. May they hear your voice speaking to them. May the doors of opportunity be open to minister into the lives of students, these precious young children entrusted to the care of schools. I'm praying, Lord, across this city of Mackay, to into all the schools, whether they be Christian or not Christian, whether they be state school or private, doesn't matter, whether they even homeschooling. I'm just praying that the hand of God will be upon this. We need to see, Lord, what you can do. And we come to you, Lord, because we know you care and you love for these children far more than we ever could. And so may the Spirit of life flow forward. And I pray a rising of the Spirit in the hearts of these people. Let there be just an anointing of the Holy Ghost to take forward, Lord, what you want to bring. I pray it in the precious name of Jesus, believing for the Spirit of God to move mightily in schools. We speak today against every demonic power that would try and infiltrate the minds of our children in schools. And we speak, Lord, the protection of the Holy Ghost around about them, the armies of the Lord surrounding them and keeping them. Your hand be there, Lord. We look to you. Things we can't do, we really need to see you do through us as this representation of the body of Christ in that place. Amen and amen. May God bless you, teachers. May you have a wonderful year.